Tim Dillon is going to hell. With Tim Dillon and Ray Kump.
Welcome to Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, everybody. How are you? Tuesday night, 7 p.m., New York City's East Village. I toured gyms today with my roommate. Nothing is better than a fat guy being demanding taking gym tours.
Well, you like fitness gyms?
Yeah, gyms. Because they know, number one, you're not joining. Number one, they know you're not signing the piece of paper.
I don't know. I mean, people have goals.
Yeah, but they don't, it's not happening, you know? They know it. And they know if you join, best case, you're canceling. Or best case, they see you twice.
That's why I lock you in for 2 years.
They see you twice. They see you once the day you first day you go.
Yeah.
And then second, you run in 3 months later screaming because you tried to cancel by phone and you still see it on your statement. But we want a gym with a pool.
Who's we?
Me and Alan, my roommate.
Oh, okay.
We're trying to find a gym with a pool. Because if you join with another person,
right,
you get a discount.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're trying to find a gym with a pool.
What are you going to do in the pool?
Swim.
Try to find people?
What do you mean try to find
people? Meet people, meet men?
Listen to this. We go to one with a pool. They go, you get an hour. And the pool's got three lanes.
Mm-hmm.
There's two elderly people, like, dying in each lane.
It's good for their bones.
And then they go, you got an hour in the pool, or we. Listen to this. This is on the wall of the gym. This shows you when you, like, this is the difference between, like, rich and poor. Like,
right
here immediately, Queens versus Manhattan. We're in Queens. We go to this gym right on the wall. You have an hour in the pool. If you go over, we revoke your membership.
What?
That's what it says on the wall of the gym.
Well, that's the one way to get out of your membership.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. Spend an hour and 5 minutes here. You're fucking out. We'll call the cop. Like,
well, here's the thing. Gyms are run on this paradigm of, like, they sign up as many people as possible, but they want the kind of people who aren't going to show up. Because if you look at the roster of
It's a good point.
If you look at the roster of a gym.
Yeah.
And they've done studies on this. And, like, if even half of those people showed up on a regular basis, it would be, you know, you would be unserviceable. There'd be way too many people.
Yeah.
No, like they want fatties who will feel guilty to sign up with the pizza day.
Yeah. And well, then, that's what they want. And I think that's what they get.
But the pool is a finite resource. The pool is something you actually, fatties might show up for. They might be like, I'll come take a little dip.
Well, you know, people are trying to, like, have parties with their dirtbag kids too, probably, right? You know what I mean? Like they're fucking,
I need 12 guest passes.
Yeah, yeah. We're having a party. And then they bring their fucking... Does every headphones doesn't work? Yeah. Every single headphone in the studio doesn't work? It's like...
Try this.
It's crazy. It's really amazing that fucking literally nothing works. Literally not one thing works.
I agree. I'm on your side.
There's no... It's like, you know? What is it? Everyone gets high all day and then nothing works. That's the whole,
this is the whole business model. Don't think of
just
it
a bunch of people getting stoned.
This is an artist.
And nothing works.
An artist community.
Yeah, I can't wait till the sheriff drags us out of that office building. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that happens.
I was at, speaking of gyms. I was at the gym last night.
Yeah,
I went back for the first time in a long time. I've tried to cancel in the interim.
They don't let you cancel if you're in, they have you.
Well, they have. I wasn't on, my year was up for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I went for a couple of days at first because I used to be a runner. You know,
yeah.
I told you many times, and so, like, you know, last year on many occasions, like, oh, I'll cancel because I'm running out of money, I'll cancel it. And like, there's the only thing where it's like, you have to cancel. You have to cancel within 14 days before the next month.
Yeah, it's a,
so it's some.
It's
shit
always
where,
like, some blood ritual, like,
yeah,
on the new moon,
right?
If you, it's never like a fucking straightforward cancel it. My whole thing is, like, I like swimming, so I'd like if there's a pool. But then you realize, obviously, there is something funny about just, like, a fat guy walking around gyms going, like, I want an Olympic-sized pool in Queens. People, like, this used to be a cell phone store.
Right.
We have five treadmills and some weights.
Is this small?
I mean, they're not huge.
I'm at Blink.
It's not a massive fitness complex.
I'm at Blink, and there is, like, I was surprised. I went there at, like, 8 p.m. Yeah. after work, and there was just tons of treadmills open. Not tons open, but just tons of treadmills, and a few were open. I chafed myself up pretty, not terribly, but, yeah, you know, I went for an hour on it, you know.
Well, how late is your gym open?
Till 11.
Yeah, I really would like a 24-hour.
It's not that common.
It's common in the suburbs more than the city.
They have those Snap ones, but those are even kind of misleading.
And the reason that I like that is because if you get out, you do spots late at night, you can do something. You know what I mean?
It would be great.
I like that idea. I was thinking there's this place, Asphalt Green, which is this major pool, beautiful Olympic-sized pool in New York City with a fitness center. They're only open till 10 p.m. on weekdays, and then weekends 8 p.m. It's like too.
What about the Y?
This is too early.
The Y's, people go to the Y's a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that. But yeah. I was really into the Asphalt Green place. Then I'm like, fucking, on the weekend, 8 p.m.
Mine's 7 p.m. on the weekends.
No, it's just, what is why? Let me ask you a question.
Even this summer, I used to be in LA Fitness, paying $50 a month.
Why? That's a
peak hours. No, because people who really work out all the time. They're not made for, like, me and you if we were, like, trying to get in
shape.
But
who gives a shit? Tell this fucker to stay here for 3 or 4 more hours.
Because those people don't, the people who show up all the time don't show up. There's like 5 people.
Yeah. We would never go. We wanted to be open, but we'd never go.
Yeah.
They'd call us at 11:30. They'd be like, we're open for you. Where the fuck are you?
I'm seeing some pizza.
You said you were going to be here at midnight. Yeah. That's why you wanted 24 hours. Where the fuck are you?
Right.
You know? What's going on? Is that a waffle iron in the background? What?
People who, like, use gyms all the time.
Yeah.
I think they're, like, they're better at being on schedule.
That's probably what it is. And then the reality is, that's a good point. These things are not made for us. They're made for people that are actually going to go. we're not even going to go. We're demanding the hours.
But right now, we're using the excuse, if it was open now, I'd go.
You're not open at 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
Well, fuck you.
I guess I'll just jerk off.
Well, I will die of heart disease. How about that?
Do you have a pot roast day? I'd like some pot roast.
Well, you know, Planet Fitness was by my job in Long Island when I was in the mortgage thing, and Planet Fitness was $10 a month. Planet Fitness is so cheap, no one goes.
Yeah.
No one goes.
Mine's 20. It's not terrible.
Planet Fitness is, there's 5 fat chicks in Planet Fitness, and that is it. Planet Fitness has a pizza night, I swear to God.
No, I know. Yeah. It
is.
That's what I'm saying. They need a lunk alarm. They call it a lunk alarm.
Yeah.
So if you were grunting, you know, too loud, they would like put the alarm off and shame you. Shame. Don't make people feel insecure. And the whole idea. And I used, like, there was a time when I was working. And when you really lift, I'm just saying. I know from experience. When you really lift, I when I was a kid, I thought, oh, that's kind of dumb. You don't have to grunt. But when you're really pushing it, you grunt.
But Planet Fitness doesn't even have. Do they have weights?
They have free weights. I mean, it's not extensive. But
so
I mean,
they will shame you if you grunt.
I don't know what put into practice wise, but that's what they say.
Their logo should be Planet Fitness: workout, stay fat. Yeah. You know, no one's ever lost weight.
They've set it up. Pizza day. So when you go in there, it doesn't feel
like a gym,
like somewhere where you stay motivated.
No.
And even if you don't eat, nothing that pizza's going to derail. Maybe pizza does derail you. Maybe it does. But just the idea.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
We're just a bunch of fatties. We're just.
Right. We're too fat to go into another gym where people aren't fat.
Right.
That's a bad fucking.
Yeah.
That's a bad fucking, like, identity to have as a human being. That cannot be around other healthy people because you feel threatened.
Well, here's the thing. You walk in. I was younger.
I'm threatened by the people doing well.
Well, you had the inklings of, like, oh, I'm insecure. But here's the thing. I'm walking in the locker room. I got changed. I'm fucking walking out to the gym. I see myself in the mirror. I'm like, oh, I'm gross. But that being said, I'm like, I look gross all the time. Like, just I'm wearing fucking.
But
you know,
so the other side of that is the juice head culture and, like, Synergy. Because my friend used to be a sell memberships at Synergy. It's just people roided out, fights.
Yeah.
Drug deals in the parking lot. So it's like, that is a different culture that I guess people, if you're a suburban mom at Planet Fitness, you don't want to be around that.
No, but they don't really want you there either. I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with having segmented, you know.
I used to go to a gym. I used to go in high school. I haven't gone. I should go. And we were just looking around to try to join one. I would like
what a pool. What was the price point of these ones you were looking at?
Well, so the one we looked at with the really shitty pool was like, it would be... $400 for the year, which is like nothing.
Well, what does that work out to? That's like
it's very cheap.
40, it's like 35-40 a month.
Yeah, but that's really low. So then like I looked at Asphalt Green. Asphalt Green's $1.39 a month. They're serious money.
Wow.
But they're Olympic sized pool, fitness center facing the East River. It's in Manhattan. It's okay. Beautiful.
What about those New York sports clubs? They're pricey, but it's
interesting.
Be nice.
It'd be interesting to see. Yeah. I mean, New York Athletic Club is obviously the top club in the city.
Yeah.
New York Athletic Club's invite only. It's a private social club.
Oh, so it's different than a sports club.
The New York Athletic Club is different. New York Sports Club is a commercial gym you can join.
Right.
New York Athletic Club has two locations, and membership is by, you have to inquire. There's a committee, you get approved. I mean, when you get a job at like a high-end company, a finance company or whatever, a membership with New York Athletic Club is something they throw in a lot of times.
Oh, wow.
You know, they'll be like, you need to get a membership to the sports club, whatever. Yeah, it's guys playing racquetball and fucking.
I love the business of racquetball.
Racquetball.
I'll be good at that.
I only played at a community college, which kind of ruins it. You know, the whole image of racquetball, like Gordon Gekko fucking racquetball, and then you're at Nassau Community College with a bunch of people that are trying to not fail the Suffolk cops test.
Imagine us trying, because the whole idea is to like make deals or make connections.
Yeah.
Like me just sweating and fucking fattening up the fucking, stinking up the, my shit streaks, stinking up the fucking gym.
Why have you said you're going to shit yourself during racquetball? That's very interesting.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to shit myself.
Well,
stink.
You just said your shit streaks. So you just said that during racquetball, you're going to begin to shit yourself.
All right, well, I'm not literally going to.
Do you shit yourself during sports?
I don't.
Well, then why would you anticipate that as a problem?
I was just juicing it up.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
The point is,
you don't have to juice it up. People imagine. People know what it's like.
It happened
like.
In a moment.
Listen, people, imagine me in there shitting myself, bleeding to death, having a baby.
What?
I was having a baby.
Anyway.
During racquetball.
Well, you get the idea. I wouldn't close the deal. You get the idea.
I mean, we're gonna keep. We're trying to do renovations to our shitty apartment. We live with this crazy Ukrainian woman, this landlord, and she's like fucking. You know, she's one of these people who's like, let me do. You know, maybe I raise rent if you do. You know, so we're trying to be like, listen, bitch. We want to do these things. We don't want you to pay, and we don't want you to raise our rent. Because if she kicks in a dollar, she'll go fucking try to raise the rent.
Yeah.
We don't want that. We got a very shitty wood floor. The paint's peeling off. We said so. We haven't pitched this idea to her yet, but we want to pitch the idea to her. Like I said, listen, instead of spending $3,000 to have it sanded and redone, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go in with Pergo. Put a mat down, Pergo wood. You know Pergo wood?
Not particularly.
I call it Long Island trash. Bring up Pergo, laminate wood flooring.
I've heard of it. I'm not sure what it is.
This is Long Island trash, Levittown living.
Okay.
Pergo wood. It's fake laminate wood flooring.
Okay.
And you put it. It snaps together. And you put it on, there it is. You get the idea.
Oh, okay.
It's blocks. You cut it. You it goes down on a mat. You can take it off when you leave. That's our pitch to her.
Oh.
We can take it off, whatever. I had a friend of mine. One of these.
Isn't that what most hardwood floors like, though?
No. Most hardwood floors are actual hardwood floor. This is laminate. This is fake.
Oh, okay.
So
what's under the laminate? Like plywood?
Who knows? Okay. It's trash.
Okay.
It's not respect. Listen, it's fine.
Right.
But it's not, you know. I mean, I had a friend in Levittown who's like, wasn't the brightest bulb. He's like, we just redid our house. The value went up $80,000. And I said, how'd you get that number? He goes, we put a wood floor in the kitchen, a Pergo wood floor. I'm like, how much did it cost? He's like, $400. So I'm like, how did it raise the house value $80,000? And he's like, because it did. And I'm like, all right, it didn't. But
right.
I'm sure maybe raise it $5,000, whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe not even. But that's what we want to do, but we got to try to get her. And she's drunk all the time. It's very hard to get her fucking sober to agree to anything because she feels like we're getting robbed all the time.
Right.
She feels like, she's getting robbed.
Yeah.
She feels like she's getting fucked over. We've offered to pay for all these fucking renovations. We're going to paint. We're going to do everything. She feels like she's getting fucked.
But you know that she's a madman. I mean, like, there's been a...
She's nuts.
Alan's had confrontations with this woman.
I mean, he called the police. There's a police report. Yeah. Supposedly she attacked him.
Right.
Well, she says that he hit her.
He played the tape for us, and it sounds very...
I don't know who hit who. I got to be honest.
There's no heroes there.
How old is she?
I don't know, 60, 70?
She's in her 60s, 70s. There was a point during the tape where there was screaming. She's like, you fucking lied to me. You lied to me. And then he just went off, and he's like, I'll tell you. And he's screaming at her. And then there's like, there's a moment of something. And then he's like, you hit me. So yeah. I almost wonder if he like smacked her or something. They came together. It was crazy. He parks his car there. Like he pays for the garage. Mm-hmm. And she called me. I was in LA. She calls me and she's like, tell Alan to take his car. It's this piece of shit. It is loud. It wakes up me and it wakes up my cat. So you tell him my cat gets very scared to take his piece of shit car. And this is exactly how she's saying it. Right. This is a message, by the way, on my voicemail. His piece of shit car. And let me tell you, you have very good deal. This is all she said. She goes, you have very good deal. You know how good deal you have? You know what people pay for rent? $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. She's nuts.
Well, I love this idea, and people do this. You have a great deal. Like, if it was such a great deal, you would have gotten rid of us.
First of all, the apartment is, it's an old, old building. It is a good deal. It's not a great deal. The building is old.
Yeah.
Here's where landlords in New York are running into issues right now, because there are a lot of people that are getting good deals that they're paying like under market rent. However, what they have to realize is like if you go in there, you put in fucking 10 grand, you do new kitchen, new bathroom, you do all this, and you get more money each month, okay, and you raise the rent, I'm telling you that the people, now you're in a whole other category where people are going to be looking at your thing and also new buildings, brand new buildings with doormen and fitness centers and security and all of that shit, which you have none of.
You're not going to put up with, like, you know, I was in there a couple weeks ago, and your crazy landlord's son is like,
the Nazi,
drilling in the ceiling.
Yeah, he's just like, fuck this. Listen, it's a slum.
Yeah.
I've lived in slums my whole life. I have no problem with it. But the problem is when somebody who's running a slum doesn't know it's a slum.
Right.
They don't have an idea. You get very good deal. This is the prime. She goes, this is the best area in Queens. And I'm like, that's provably untrue.
Right.
I step over homeless people. That is one Google search away from completely being, you're lying to me.
Well, she doesn't live there, right?
No, she inherited all these buildings. They're all multi-million dollar buildings.
Oh, multiple buildings?
Yeah, she owns that one. She owns the one she lives in.
Right.
She lives three blocks away.
All right, so my question
everyone
is
on my block inherited those buildings and are now millionaires. That's why they all have fucking Benzes and Ranges outside, and they all do nothing. It's just these old people smoking cigarettes.
So it's found money.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's just, and a lot of times people are like, well, why do you need someone to live anyway? So I'll rent
it.
But she's got a different building.
Yeah.
So like, if she sold it now, is there any like real rise in equity? Like this area has been developed already, right? Like it is what it's gonna be, right?
No, there's gonna be it'll all go up. It's all going up, man.
Right.
I mean, it seems to not have an end in sight in terms of especially the outer boroughs, inner like the ones that have a proximity to Manhattan, which that does.
Right.
You know, you start talking about Long Island City, Astoria, things like that. You know, certain parts of Brooklyn, like these things are showing no signs of depression in prices at all because, you know, you have Manhattan is just way too congested, probably overbuilt, you know, and I think a lot of people are kind of, they like the idea of, you know, they feel like the real New York is the outer boroughs. You have these young people that are coming to New York City that make a good amount of money that really don't want to live in Manhattan because they can't afford to live they can't afford to live in Tribeca, and they don't want to live on Third Avenue because at the end of the day, they think Astoria or a part of Brooklyn is more charming. The restaurants are better. Restaurants in Astoria are better than most parts of Manhattan.
Really?
You know? It's charming. It's nice. It's, you know, and so this is
and
a
Williamsburg
lot.
Is the real New York?
Well, now Williamsburg's become Manhattan, so no. But, you know, 8-10 years ago, people that were coming here, maybe even as much as, you know, 5 years ago, probably not 5 years
Bushwick.
Ago. Well, people are always looking for those areas that feel, that are gentrifying at the moment, that feel somewhat still that they're authentic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Manhattan's a big money town. If you don't have a lot of money, I'm not even talking about you each make 200 grand a year.
Right.
If you don't have a lot of money in Manhattan, you can't really avail yourself of the things that make Manhattan really, really cool. Okay? Which is the culture, the really high-end stuff, like all of that. If you're not in that group to an extent,
you can't avail yourself of the culture at 200 grand a year?
No. Not really. Well, not really.
You can go see the fucking Beauty and the Beast play. Nice, no, but though. I mean,
no, you really can't afford an apartment, everything else, and then, like, go to the Met, go here, do all of this stuff. Like, you know, these are very expensive. It's very expensive.
It's fine.
That, so people are more likely to move into Brooklyn or Queens. So this lady isn't wrong, but she's also not... She's not factoring in how much work she'd have to do to her shitty building.
Right.
You have a shitty fucking building that nobody cares about. You know? Like, nobody wants to fucking live here unless you fucking do a lot to it.
Why don't you introduce me to her?
She would hate you.
She would love me.
No, she would hate you.
Why?
You have nothing.
She has nothing.
No, she has everything. She's a multi-million dollar
she's drunk.
Equity property.
She's a drunk.
She'd be like, what do you do for a living, you faggot? Do you have what? A thing on Vice? You stupid pig! What do you have? You talk sports?
I talk to
like your... pig? Do you own anything? Where is your woman? Where is your children? You have nothing. You come to me with nothing. She's
turning into Mr. Panos.
She's mad at
Giannis's
him.
Character.
She's mad at
I'm
him.
Going right into Mr. Panos.
Let me tell you, big boy. You like it that, big boy?
But no, she's you know, she wants serious people. You know,
she sounds like a fucking full down drunk who deals with you two idiots.
I went up to her after the Who Took Johnny episode, and I said, "Listen, I have a radio show where I said some very bad things about the government. If any men come here to ask about me, mm-hmm. you know." And she goes, "Yeah, let me tell you, I understand. I don't say nothing to nobody, but where anybody live."
Wait, is she Russian?
She's Ukrainian.
But so these people, she grew up under the fucking, you know, the Soviet Union. She's going to look down on me?
Your fat face, you have jowls like dog. I don't like it.
Fucking Stalin's dog.
She might love you. I don't know. I took a fucking red. I will never take a red-eye flight again. I took one red-eye flight. I think maybe I took another one. But, like, I can't sleep on a plane. Planes are not designed for people my size to sleep.
Right.
And the problem is you get in a red-eye flight at midnight in L.A., they turn all the lights off. So everybody's, like, trying to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting there, like, I'm not sleeping. So, like, I'm fucking around. Like, I'm going to the back of the plane.
We're going to do what? Why?
I'm going to the back of the plane. They're eating little Häagen-Dazs cups.
Who is?
The fucking flight attendants.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, what are you not serving? And they're like, well, everyone's... asleep, but I'm like, what do you got? And they're like, what? They're looking at me like, I'm not going to bed. I'm not sleeping. I can't sleep in this fucking seat I paid $75 extra for that still got no fucking legroom.
Right.
Two people got fucking upgraded to first class right in front of me.
It was
I got so heated. But it's like, it's also like, play it cool. Like, they didn't play it cool at all. They're like, oh my God. They're telling their other friends in the other parts of the plane. They're like, oh my God, we're in first. And it's like, you play it cool, you're going to walk up into first class, and fucking, you're going to look like an animal. This is my friend Jerry Ann. Should we answer it?
Okay. Who is she?
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Tim.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're on my podcast right now. How's everything been?
Everything has been great. I was actually just calling to see if you're coming to my wedding.
Yes, I am.
I have not received your RSVP yet.
Can I come?
Ray, you cannot come.
What?
It is Tim and Guest.
It is Tim and Guest.
Maybe you're plus one.
Jerry, I apologize for not sending the RSVP. I am coming.
What's the theme of your wedding?
What is the theme?
It's on the beach. It's like a lot of seafood.
Oh, like seashells?
I love seafood.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
You have seashells like glued to your dress?
Jerry, I'm going to send the RSVP. I apologize. I've been traveling, and you know me. I'm, like, not organized.
That's why I figured I'd give a phone call. I know you're not organized.
No, I appreciate it. When is the wedding, dear? Tomorrow? No, I'm kidding. When
just try gluing the seashells to the dress, like on the bus.
Ray, shut your fat mouth. Oh. Hold on. When is the wedding?
May 19th.
Great. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a great time.
You know, like, you could use a seaweed, like, kind of dry it out and use it like a sachet or something.
Ray is a wedding photographer.
I am a wedding photographer.
He sometimes photographs weddings.
Yes. Do you have a good photographer?
Good to know, because I just spent, like, $3,000 on a photographer.
Oh, I charge way less.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, but I'm not that good.
Call me back when you're not doing your podcast.
All right, my love. I'll see you soon. Happy wedding.
All right.
I'm not going to that. But here's the thing. You know what? I can't be involved.
Give me a vibe. How selfish are people going to my wedding? I'm doing a show here. I'm trying to make a living. I'm trying to entertain people. Got people calling me, you're coming to my wedding. You know what I mean? Is there an end to the me ever with these people? Is there ever an end
I just see a to lot
their
of brides.
Constant devotion to themselves?
I see a lot of brides, and they do these things on the beach, but they don't really, like, take advantage of the fact that they're on a beach and, like, really theme it up and, like, you know, put some kind of, you know, accessories, maybe a little crab thing, like a little crab brooch would be nice. Something fun.
I agree. I'm not, you're not wrong here.
Right.
She's going to call me one day and go, she's going to go, hey, listen, I'm going to go, what's up? And she's going to go, I'm going to be in some shitty motel doing a gig. And she's going to be like, my wedding's tonight. I'm going to go, well, hey, good luck. I like her. She's a good friend of mine, Jerry Ann. We used to go out and drink and use drugs and eat.
Okay.
We used to go out.
Was it Lisa's Lounge?
What the hell is this?
Hello?
Hey.
Who is this?
Luke Tuma.
What's up? You're on my podcast. What are you calling about?
Just having a fucking...
Oh, really?
Yes. What do you want?
All right, get to it.
I was, like, going to ask about Stephen Paddock, and if you think it was just him or did he have help. I'm doing this book report.
You're doing a book report?
What grade is this kid in?
What are you, in middle school? What book report? This is the kid who opens for me. Don't make me sound like a pedophile. What are you talking about? What kind of book report on Stephen Paddock? What class is this for? False flag?
I'm just wondering. Remember you told me to call you at like 7:30 and just tell you what I was wearing? It's just like a t-shirt and jeans.
Listen, I think you probably have a great dick. Your head, you look like an onion. Your head. Because you have Middle Eastern, you have 3 to 5 more years of that cutesy look, and then it's going to get real gross. You know that.
Are you setting up characters in the show now? Is that what you're doing?
Michael accused you of only bringing me on the road and stuff. Good luck in it, but... He's not even good looking. He looks like a bee or some type of weird bastard.
This is not playing on the radio podcast here. It's not working, kid.
Luke, we thought you were going to do a lot better. We got to be honest.
This is tanking.
All right, listen. Give me a call later on.
All right. Are you arranging characters now?
People just calling me. I'm just answering the phone.
Okay.
Hoping it's somebody good.
All right.
Hoping somebody gets
Does anyone good ever call you?
Sometimes, but I can't put it on the air.
Right.
None of the good stuff can go on the air.
Why doesn't, like, Lou Ranieri call you?
Why would he call me?
You've met him a couple of times.
I have met him. But he's not interesting. All those finance guys suck. Yeah. That's the reality. That's all those business guys. They all suck. You know?
Yeah.
That's the reality. They all fucking suck. You know?
Okay, that's my hot dogs.
Though. Oh, this is my mother. Oh, I swear to God.
Is this what your life is? Just fucking constant phone
mother.
Calls?
Mom, how are you? I'm going to try to come tomorrow. You're on my podcast. Say hello to all the listeners.
Hi, all you listeners. I'm watching Jeopardy. What are you doing?
I'm not watching Jeopardy. I'm trying to have a career. What is your favorite memory of me as a child?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many. I think the way you laugh, and you laugh like for a minute nonstop.
Well, that's kind of generic. Everyone's bombing. All right, I love you. I got to go. Bye-bye. When you laugh nonstop. Can you imagine? It's the shocking that I have the level of talent I do when I come from just this zeros. Zero plus zero, you know? What are you? You're angry.
I'm not angry.
Are you angry? I feel like there's stuff you haven't gotten to.
No, I'm not angry. I want to join in and kicking your mom while she's down.
Listen, the woman should fucking have something to say. Have a memory ready that's
not... Well, I agree. It's just not my place to say.
When you laugh for a minute nonstop. Did you even raise me? Did you even raise me?
What were you watching when you were laughing so hard?
Who knows? But, I mean, what a generic answer.
Fucking Rodney King being beaten?
I love that. Play the tape again. I believe in the system. Play the tape again. I love justice. I don't know. Maybe I was watching a poo. The trouble.
Why did that poo? Did that come out this week? I heard about it months ago, and now it's on Twitter.
The Simpsons responded with an episode.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which, was it ballsy?
I don't watch any of this shit. I don't know. I think it was basically like, fuck you, some shit is, you know, it's you look through today's lens, it doesn't, you know, it, whatever. I don't know what it was. I mean, here's my thing with the poo. Today is a tone-deaf character, sure.
Yeah.
But stop. Right. Like, at the end of the day, it's like every single character on the show is offensive. You only want to laugh at straight white men. That's the only thing you want to... So then we should only make jokes about straight white men? Hey, then all we're talking about is straight white men. That almost feels like it's like we're exalting them. We're putting them on a pedestal.
It's like...
it's insane.
It's like a rape victim just living out their life through their, you know, attacker.
Well, right. I don't know if it's like that. But
something like that. There's something there.
The point is that... You called my mother again. Call George just messaged me. No, you're not getting on the show, Call George. He wants video chat now. No, Call George.
Is he one who sends us things?
No, and that's a good point.
Yeah.
Call George, maybe you should send some shit. Call George sent that joke gift. Remember that joke gift?
The checks.
The checks for $6.06.
Oh.
Hey, Carl, you ain't getting on with that, buddy. But what was I saying? I was saying the poo thing. It's like, listen, all of these people punch up. Punch up. Listen.
You're saying white people are up.
Punch up.
They're terrible people also.
If you don't make fun of everybody, you're not going to have any type of equality. You don't. But then at the end of the day, I don't think a lot of these people are coming from a point of view where they want equality. I think they want a reverse discrimination. Where they want to say, well, you know what? People have treated minorities in a horrible way. If we then do this, if we reverse that, we'll somehow... get to a good place.
I mean, look, there's always going to be some overshoot in overcorrection. And yeah, I'm sure there's some element of it that does want to see, you know, and that's, you know, in the grand scheme, there's some fairness to that, I guess.
I understand, you know, where it comes from, but it doesn't go to a good place.
No, the court, no, this is not, this, like, when they tell, like, oh, white people, don't shut your mouth, don't, like, you know, chime in on this. No, I get where that comes from. I don't think it's a good policy to have.
No, this is the type of thing that energizes these radicals.
Right.
You know what I mean? It kind of like, it feeds the extremes. It's not helpful. I don't think you create good policy from this place. I don't think you create, because I don't know what, but I understand, listen, I'm not taking it away. As an Indian guy, you have a different feeling. Great, make the movie. I'm not one of these guys who's like, he should have never made a movie. I don't care what anyone does. I don't care, you know. But at the end of the day, the larger point that this seems to be couched in is that the only people that should get made fun of are people in positions of privilege and power, which by the way, would only like uphold those positions of privilege and power.
Yeah, exactly.
In my estimation.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when Apu, when it came out, in the grand scheme of it, was not that, you know, it shouldn't really be that offensive. Yeah, well, now it's a little more, like you said, tasteless.
Then he goes like this, and they ask Hari, which I've never met the guy, I don't know anything about him really, other than the fact that he made this movie and that he's a comedian, but I don't know him. I know people that open for him and like him. I mean, I never trash comedy, like I don't get on and go, like, even if your comedy's not for me, most comedy's not for me, I don't care. It's always people that tend to be the woke crew that trashes everyone else. I just go, yeah, do it, man. You want to rent out an old burlesque theater in Portland and fucking, you know, play the oboe and talk about that you hate Trump and raise money for Planned Parenthood? Hey, more power to her, to you.
Yeah,
book me, I'll go. My point is that he said something. He's like, well, I don't want the character to be killed off. That would be lazy writing. I love the show.
What?
Listen to me. He goes, I don't want the character to be killed off. It's lazy writing. I like the show. I would appreciate if the character was made into something, if he evolved, if he was elevated as a character, such as maybe he could, like, open a string of stores and then compete with Mr. Burns. It's like, what? That would invalidate every critique you have about social mobility, wealth disparities.
Right.
Burns is a billionaire who's had money forever. He has the whole town in his grip. He's evil.
Right.
And you want this character to then compete with Burns. It's illogical.
I'm not like a big, I'm what you call a Simpsons kid. Like, there are people who just like love, see every episode and quote it. But I liked it. But like, I remember talking to someone about this, and they're like, you know, Apu's got this whole like uber capitalist kind of like, you know, sketchy. Like, he's not just some Indian guy. He has a lot of character traits.
I think that the critique is that if you have a community that's not being represented with any other thing, and you have one guy on TV and everything's like, you know, go to the Himalayas, curry, Vishnu, whatever. It's easy, cheap jokes. And right. Fine, critique it. But don't then say that the way to make this better would be for the owner of the Quickie Mart to then become some type of billionaire that competes with Mr. Burr. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Well, the thing is, all right, so it came out like 89, 90. And like, you know, there was a time when like, I'm sure like every character would have been just some white guy. The guy who runs a convenience store is a white guy. I'm like, I don't know if it's different in other parts of the country, but like in Long Island, not everyone's Indian, but like every 7-Eleven is run by some kind of Indian, Pakistani, or like maybe.
And that's good.
No, it's fine.
It's small businesses.
Right, but I feel like there was probably something of like, well, this is actually like a slice of what's really going on. It's like, you have minorities who run these shops.
People get angry about The Voice or whatever. The Hank Azaria did The Voice, and he's a white guy or whatever. But it's like, people seem to be angry that this country was not founded by a diverse history book cover. It was founded by white Europeans who, you know, conquered an indigenous population of Native Americans,
right.
Then set up a government. Like, it's a majority white country.
Yeah.
And throughout history, there have been incredibly insensitive characters of every race in pop culture. But I think maybe the fact that this has gone on for so long,
right,
and The Simpsons is unique in that it's still on, and that people can kind of...
And it's not that popular anymore, so it's an easy target.
It's
something you can attack. It's not some fucking...
I don't know how easy of a target it is. It is iconic, but I do,
right.
I do agree.
You know what I'm trying to say. It's not something that's like, you know, still killing it every week, so it's kind of like... Hey, this is something that we can kind of, the sacred cow.
Right. And at the end of the day, it's like, listen, you know, at the end of the day, is it a tone deaf character by today's standards? Yes, sure. Yeah, I'll give you that. But I don't think the larger point that this generally makes is that people should only be using humor in a way.
Isn't every Bollywood movie a stereotype?
I don't know. I don't watch them.
I'm saying, like, they're all very over the top.
But at the end of the day, it's like people should only use humor, and their humor should only use humor as a way to like tear down these oppressive structures. They should only point their humor at powerful people. All of that, to me, that's not the way humor works.
Right.
That's just not the way humor works. And the people that want this aren't funny.
They're
just not
funny. All right. You have Married with Children, for instance.
Yeah,
it's not attacking, you know, the Reagan policies. It's not attacking, you know, the bond market in the 80s. All the things that led to kind of like whatever made out
the stagnation of the American family in the suburbs. Yeah,
whatever drove the Bundys to be what they are. But that show, you know, first of all, it was funny, but it was also
by the way, one of the greatest shows of all time.
Hilarious.
My aunt, like, people would not like me to watch it. And I was just like, fuck you.
Yeah. But it also was a portrait of that kind of, you know, maybe not the most impoverished people, but, you know, people in that kind of decaying American. And, like, there's nothing, like, you know, not
Marcy and Cliff. I mean, dude, let me tell you right now. The best. So good.
It was amazing.
So good. I mean.
The shoe. The
Marcy and Cliff. And fucking Peggy and Al.
Just him and just him, like, making quips at those fat women in the shoe store.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that I remember there was one episode where he was trying to figure out if he made less than anybody else in the world. And then he found out, he goes, he made less than a Pakistani dirt vendor. It's just like... It's great. You know, is it going to be an article about that where it's like, well, that's actually disrespecting the tradition in Pakistan of soil for mangoes is very important. And it's like, guys, we're really off the rails here. Trump's going to get elected again. And and not only will he be elected again, they're going to make him an emperor. There will be no more elections.
So that show came out 20 years ago. Where are all the Indian characters now? Why isn't that the focus? There's like two Indian characters I could think of on TV.
I think the focus has to be what people generally choose targets that they feel like they can hit with some level of accuracy.
Right.
So that larger question as to why there isn't, especially when, by the way, there are people with money that could make all these things. You know? All your liberal ally friends could do all that.
That's what I'm saying. And then a few of them, like this Cal Penn.
It's much easier to just say, hey, there's a character I don't like that offends me. It was bad, and here's why. and it, you can hit it with some accuracy. The target's right there in front of you. Instead of making this point that it's more valuable in the long run, which is that we should just have more positive images or representation going forward. Which I'm sympathetic to that argument. I get it. I don't want to look at a fucking... Me and you have gone to movies, and every preview is white people. And yes, we've said this is fucking nuts.
Oh, yeah.
We said that. Yeah. Every preview is white people.
Just lukewarm white nonsense.
And no reason for it to be white people. It's a movie about international espionage. Jessica Chastain.
Right.
What? Like, no. Give fucking people roles. I do think that matters. But I think the most important thing of all of this is that I personally... get rich and famous somehow. That's what I think is the end goal for not only me, but for everyone.
I think everyone's on board with that idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the shot. That's the chance.
Right.
You want to make things okay? Let's do that. I got a fucking mother whose only memory of me is when I laughed for a minute straight. I was probably choking. I was probably choking to death, and you couldn't fucking... She's like, that time you laughed with that ham in your throat, you just kept laughing. You laughed so hard, you were blue.
Picture you watching Gabriel Iglesias just fucking losing your mind.
Why are you shitting on Gabriel Iglesias?
You
shitting on Fluff?
No, he's great.
It's all going to come together, folks.
He's better than me.
No. No, Ray, I do not believe that he's better than you. I don't believe. You think
We're different.
You think there's anything to this Michael Cohen thing? The FBI goes in, they thrash his office?
Here's the thing. All right, so basically, Mueller recommends to... people are shouting that Mueller is basically kind of going off the rails here. But, like, Mueller referred this to the New York Attorney General's office. Now, it has to go through a judge... a magistrate, and a fucking, not even the U.S. attorney, like the primary U.S. attorney that was appointed directly by Trump. They all sign off on this warrant. There is precedence, by the way, like to go into a lawyer's. If you are using your lawyer, apparently, to commit fraud, they can basically, that privilege gets, nixed. There's no privilege.
They can revoke the attorney-client privilege.
Yeah, and they've done it before with Manafort, apparently. Manafort's a lawyer. They wiped it out, and he flipped on him.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting what I read today in the Times was that probably the idea is that, because he can't touch it, because it has nothing to do with the, Stormy Daniels has nothing to do with the Russia thing.
No.
That being said...
I mean, if she does, let me tell you right now, this just got a lot cooler.
But here's the thing, a lot of it is because they didn't shut the fuck up when they should have. These guys, they're running their fucking mouths. Yeah, I paid you the money. All this shit.
Yeah.
It is like an indication of possible. Because now they're looking into campaign finance, or money laundering, all this shit. Now, in the process of raiding this law office and these other locations and going through these files, anything they find as evidence of a crime is now admissible. So now he can use that.
Let me ask you a
question. You know what I'm saying? So he's a back door.
Are you more... Does this recent development make you more or less inclined to believe that there is... Do you think they're running up short with the collusion narrative theory that they don't really have a ton and they're kind of... Even though you're saying that there is precedence for it, I understand that. But does this show you that they are still very much looking for evidence? They're still very much in the game of looking for some connection that they haven't found yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything. I'll say yes to that for a short answer. I think they have a strong idea of what they're trying to find.
Okay.
I think these things are hard to find in general.
Yeah.
I think these are not like the idea of having a smoking gun,
sure.
I mean, like with Watergate, it was a different situation, but you had those tapes and you had those fucking things.
Well, this to me shows me a few things. Number one, like everybody that just celebrates everything this guy does, I think they're...
To Trump or Manafort?
Everyone, but really Mueller. Everybody every subpoena he sends out, everybody's like, everybody tweets are like, I can't wait to see when Don's in jail. And it's like, it's kind of like, guys, we're putting the cart before the horse. This doesn't, I got to be honest with you, as an outsider looking at this, it doesn't make me think that he's got a lot.
I think he has a decent amount. Here's the thing.
Yeah, it still seems to me.
I would be more inclined to agree with what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Except that his personal lawyer, Michael Cohen.
Yeah.
When his story broke, voluntarily came out and said, "I paid that porn star $130,000. Trump had nothing to do with it." Like it's such an obvious lie, such an obvious obfuscation of justice and misleading of the public.
Why?
Why would he pay this person? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Why not?
They're hiding behind a lawyer. It's like hiding behind a attorney-client privilege. I paid the porn star. Trump had nothing to do with it. Why would Trump's personal lawyer pay $130,000
to anyone? What is she being paid for? Silence?
Silence, yeah, about the affair.
And we're... Okay, so let's say Trump did pay her for silence about the affair. Is this... What are we doing here?
All right, well, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
It's like...
I don't Here's the thing.
This started with Putin... And Russia and now we're a porn star got a lump sum to keep her mouth shut. No, it's not great.
It's a separate. I mean, look, they are intertwining, but they're separate. You know, criminal proceedings.
I'm not saying that they're
now.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there's no.
Here's the thing.
Yeah,
you prevent. All right, now I don't personally care who he fucks. I don't think it's an indication of you know character.
Was he president when this was paid?
He was running for president.
Okay.
It's 2016.
Okay, it's a scandal. It's a big scandal. Is it an impeachable offense? Let me ask you. Let's assume the worst. Is it an impeachable offense?
What, the fucking or the... Or
no, the paying... Well, the fucking is clearly not. Yeah. The paying off.
It might be. It probably won't rise to that.
Right.
But it could be. It is basically... paying.
What you're inferring is
voters from having information that they would use.
No, yeah. Okay. What you're inferring from this is that's kind of almost a cover to go in there and try to find any evidence that could be used for the collusion case.
Right. And you can argue that's like, I don't know if you argue unethical, but it is what it is. Now, here's the thing. My point is like, they didn't pay it off, and then like, there's no discretion. There's no even like lip service paid to like to the you know rule of law or whatever. It was like, nah, I paid her. Like it's such a blatant lie. It's a blatant like mafia type. Yeah, like you know, I mean, that's what a mob would do. They have a lawyer or they have a fall guy. You know what I mean? It's something that's so cynical about it.
Yeah,
that's like. My point is, I will agree that the government's, you know, or the Mueller investigation, yeah, they have a wide scope and they're running fast and loose. But I will never for one second assume that like Trump is being like ramrodded or fucking.
I don't think he's being ramrodded. It doesn't inspire confidence that they have enough to take him down. I don't believe that they do, and I believe that this shows that if they're using this. As a way to get more information at this stage, after they have all of these guys that could have turned, after you have all of these people that supposedly could have turned and given very damaging testimony, and maybe still will.
Right.
But at this point, to have all of those people, to have the leverage of the Justice Department and getting them to turn, to fucking talk, I still think to be using this techniques like this shows me that you probably don't have enough, and I could be wrong, but you probably don't have enough to take him down.
Well, if they had enough to take him down, they would take him down.
Well...
I mean, they had enough. You're saying
I'm very sympathetic to the idea that this takes a while.
Right.
But at the end of the day, when you're doing things like this, I start to say to myself, ugh, you may be grasping for straws. You may not have anything. And this may get you the things you need, but it also may not.
I don't know where it's at. I don't know if I personally believe that he colluded purposefully with Russia. Like, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. I think, and I don't know what ends up happening as far as the result of this investigation, but what it will show, most likely.
Yeah, is that he's a deeply corrupt individual.
Yeah, corrupt individual.
And he's got a web
willing
of
to deal with.
Yeah, and he's got a web of business interests that he's never fully disentangled himself from.
Right.
And that there's the conflict of interest. And that probably that may rise to the level of an impeachable offense, especially if the Democrats have a majority in the midterm elections.
Right.
They're going to look at all of this stuff.
Well, that's probably the other thing, too. They're probably holding off.
Absolutely.
Use it as a weapon to taint the elections.
Right.
And then B, if it works, then, you know, then it goes forward.
Yeah. No, I never thought. I said that the collusion case was a tough one to prove because we know a little bit about intelligence and the way that works. But I didn't think it was completely impossible. I don't know. I never got the feeling that they had something, and I've read a lot of kind of on both sides about it. I mean, I read the Mayer article. I think it's a great piece of journalism. I still don't know if this all comes together in the way that people are hoping.
I don't know if it will, and if it doesn't,
it can along the way. It can expose him as an inherently corrupt,
right?
You know, almost on a, you know, he is. He's a megalomaniac. He's a narcissist. The things he's done and been involved in probably are enough that should have precluded him from the presidency.
Sure.
And may be enough to unseat him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If, let's just say it doesn't get impeached.
Yeah.
And then all this stuff is out. Like, you know, like, yeah. I assume that there's a showdown where some of this shit gets released. And then, you know, the people still vote for him. They still elect him. It's like, then it's like, well, we are what we are now. Like, this is the country we, this, like, we can't complain about anything now.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. They might also, and because this is so aggressive, it's never been done before, this raiding of a law firm like this, in this way. Like, it could also be that they're trying to provoke him into firing Mueller. And that's debatable.
Which supposedly, I read an article he was thinking about it, but it's hard to know if those articles are based on anything.
Well, I think it's taken as 100% fact that he wanted to fire him last summer, but then the White House counsel threatened to quit, so he didn't. But the idea is that there's a lot of Republicans out there, and maybe they're full of shit, but they've kind of made that as a red line where if you fire Mueller, then we're gonna impeach him, or I don't know what the fuck happens. But then again, there's people saying that wouldn't happen. So,
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens. But I think that I think he finishes the term.
I mean, at this rate, probably.
I think he finishes the term, and I think he's running again. And I think the Democrats better figure it out. They better figure out somebody that can beat them. They need to find their Trump. I hate to say that, but they do need to find somebody who can communicate.
Cory Booker.
No, that is not their Trump. Maybe Kamala Harris.
All right.
She's an interesting person, you know?
Can Michelle Obama run?
She could, but she won't. She won't. She's also so effective because she's not in the sphere, political sphere, you know? So when
somebody's... She's effective? Still have plenty of fat kids.
Yeah, it's true. She's not effective in this room, but she's pretty effective. I think sometimes you look at people that are really good and speakers and they're people that you would like to see run, and then you go, why don't they run? And then you realize that part of what makes them so appealing is that they are not political animals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that kind of comes through. You know, they have a nature that kind of comes through, and she's a very bright, articulate woman. She's a mother. She's there. She's concerned. She has concerns, but you never feel like with her when she's speaking, you never feel like you're being handled.
Right.
Which is great, you know? But does that change if she steps into the arena? I don't know.
She becomes bloodthirsty.
You know? I mean, I don't know. Did Roseanne keep up the ratings? Let's Google that.
Yeah.
Let's Google that. I'm kind of curious. Wouldn't it be funny if next week was nothing? Just people just dropped off? I don't know. Roseanne's second week rating, Shannon. Let's Google that. Let's see if there's any news.
Have you watched any of it?
I've watched none of it.
I didn't watch the third episode yet.
I have watched none of it, folks. I have watched none of it.
It says that the rating slipped. Tuesday's episode averaged 15.2 million viewers.
That's still great.
That's down 24% from last week's.
That's okay.
I'll take 15. I mean, that's the thing. You got to look at like a month in and see like 15 to 12 to 9 to even 6 would still be fucking good numbers.
Who the hell's watching? I mean, listen, I know that there's millions of people that are watching this.
Right.
But like, I watched a clip of it, and here's the thing. I'm like,
it's fine.
I'm done with you.
Yeah.
I watched you for years. I watched these fuckers for years.
Roseanne was never a show that you would have liked.
I liked Roseanne.
It was good, but you're like, it's on. I'm going to watch this on Tuesdays if I'm home. It's never going to be like, let me go fucking go on Hulu and log in and find this.
No.
Like, DVR this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, let me go find that episode with the Halloween costume, you know? No.
Half-hour comedies are like made to be kind of fluff. They're made to be just something in the background. I mean, they can be good.
Yeah, some were great. What do you think the best half-hour comedies are?
Best ever. I mean, Seinfeld.
Clearly. Very true.
News radio was great.
Okay.
Trying to think both. I mean, Frasier was very good. Yeah,
phenomenal.
Cheers was great. I liked Wings. So I don't know if it stacks up with the best, but I liked it.
It's not, but it's good.
I'm trying to think. If you rattle some off, I'm trying to remember.
Perfect Strangers.
Oh, that was good. Yeah,
it was great.
That was great.
It was fun. Taxi.
Oh, Taxi is a classic.
You know?
What came later on? I mean, I'm leaving out all the 2000s and like the, you know, the rest of developments and all those kind of. We're thinking more like
the golden age of that. I think was the 90s for me, and then the 2000s. I mean, there was stuff there too. I'm kind of forgetting.
I wonder, is Mr. Belvedere funny at all? I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
I mean, I used to watch it as a little kid.
Yeah, probably not.
What was the opening sequence to that? It was like get the opening sequence to Mr. Belvedere. It was always kind of is there something creepy about it? Just some dude living in your house,
right?
Some old British guy,
some fucking pedo.
Who's like, you know, going up to your kids like, "Oh, you're using the right spoon. Ooh, you're such a little hooligan."
You know, he'd break you into Cambridge.
Who cares when you drop kick your jacket as you came through the door?
He fucks our kids, but he's British.
Wait, so he's like, pause a second, China, pause. Thank you. So there's all these pictures of him, and it's like one, he's like, he's dressed up like Lawrence of Arabia. He's in the British Raj.
Yeah, well, all of these, you know, the British butlers have all this life experience.
Wait, like, I don't understand. Like, you fucking spend 30 years around the world and you fucking wipe some kid's ass?
Hey, I caught him fucking our son. He's British. He's traveled the world. Remember when he brought us those spices from...
He freed Arabia from the Turks.
Let's see a little more of this, Shannon. Cut this off. Go to Empty Nest. I met a writer for Empty Nest. She was a morbidly obese pig.
I watched it as a kid.
A van, and she was like, my friend Harder is like this assistant. My friend's a producer that just produces fake shit. Hold on for a second, Shannon. Thank you. My friend's a producer who produces just shit. And so she hires these writers, and not always shit. Sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's not. And these writers are just getting day rates and stuff. And my friend hired this lady as her, like, assistant or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this lady's just, like, this large sloth that pulls up in a van. And she writes with my friend. She's, like, writing this play with my friend. So I was like, she's, like, asking me about the things I had going on. She's like, you need a writer for your show? I'm like, yeah, not that wrote on Empty Nest. Like, what are you fucking talking about? But she was talking about Empty Nest. And this is a real sad Hollywood scene, like, she was just like in the cup holder was a bag of French fries from In-N-Out, just grease. And she was like, you know, Empty Nest, Dina Manhoff, and they hated each other. She was telling me about all the like old school Empty Nest behind the scenes gossip.
With the actors?
Yeah. She's like, they hated each other, man. You don't know the half of it. And I'm like, no one knows the half of it because no one gives a shit. You've had a meaningless life. Are you going to eat these French fries? Like, yeah, of course I don't know the half of it. Literally no one does. No one does.
Yeah.
Empty Nest opening sequence. Let's go. And so do we. I love it. Just how we do it is our family.
One by one, we fill the days. We find a thousand different ways.
You know that somebody who worked on this show, like they're sacrificing kids in a forest, and then they come in and they're like, life goes on, and so do we.
What if he's
how we do it is our family.
What if he's petting the dog as he walks by? That'd be nice.
That's something I will never
this
be.
Is terrible.
Yeah, it's bad. All right, cut this off.
This is bad. You know, I mean, 30 Rock was a great show.
30 Rock was really good.
I mean, I liked
Harry and the Hendersons.
I did like that as a kid. I don't remember.
Alf.
Alf was great. Fucking, what was that one?
All of the TGIF shows, like Hanging with Mr. Cooper, Saved by the Bell, Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. They were very garbagey, but I'm trying to think. Step by Step.
All in the Family.
Family Matters.
Family Matters was a good one. Yeah,
that was a good one. And, you know, All in the Family was great.
Yeah, that's actually one you might want to go back and watch. Like, if you go back and watch Full House, it's going to be like fucking, you know.
Another one is great. It's fucking Three's Company. John Ritter.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
Racy.
Classic.
He was a comic genius.
Absolutely.
His timing was amazing.
He was great. The you know, where is he now?
What?
Is he dead?
Yes.
Oh, I don't
know. He died tragically.
What happened?
He had some kind of heart attack on the set of his other show, that show he had, Eight Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter or whatever. And they fucking had to, like, the next season they brought in David Spade and fucking...
Well, rule number 9 was you have to resuscitate me if I'm on the floor.
Yeah, he died.
Trying to get to a room. That was rule number nine.
Well, he died tragically.
Mr. Belvedere.
That was it was fine. I'm trying to think, what was that good? That was a good one. It was
Now, to be a British gentleman, everybody takes their knickers off. Take them off right now. Take your knickers off. You want to be a British gentleman or not?
Why does your dick taste like Marmite?
Do you want to see what I can do with a nice little... get me a spot of tea. Oh, just the idea of Mr. Belvedere fucking the kids. What?
It's just, I mean, it wasn't going that far in my mind, but sure, yeah. Just mounting them.
Just fucking the shit out of
it's
them.
It's like, all right, him just getting frustrated because he can't get it hard. And like, all right, just suck it for a while. I had no problem with the other one.
We're having shepherd's pie tonight.
Turn your asshole to shepherd's pie.
You know, folks, I don't know what you want to do. Why don't you support the show? Maybe do that. How about that, you fucking waste of a life? $6, right, Shannon? Are you still doing this? I can't wait till the price goes up. They don't get this anymore.
Yeah, so go until May 1st.
May 1st.
Listen, you fuckers.
Promo code HELL. You get all of the shows. You get everything. The audio and video archives. You get the live streams are always free on GasDigitalNetwork.com and standard def and high def. And all the video and audio archives of the show are available on GasDigitalNetwork.com. We've got fucking 85 episodes, closing in on 90 fucking episodes. We've almost got, what are we going to do for 100th episode?
We're going to have a ritual, some kind of ceremony.
Yeah.
I'm going to,
Gasser did a fake ritual on a show. Everybody thinks, the internet thinks he's in Pizzagate now.
Really?
I told him to come on the show and say that he was.
You what know? Happened?
I don't know. He did some fake ritual on a show, and then everybody thinks he's like a member of the occult.
The country really is going off the rails.
I'm like telling you right now, if that shows the occult, like, hey, the occult is fallen considerably. I like him, but come on.
It's just these kids out there. We're not even kids. These grown men. I was watching something we do at work.
Dude, there's a great... Here's the thing. I know you've insulted David Hogg and stuff. Here's the thing with Hogg.
I don't know if I've ever publicly insulted him. But thank you for bringing it up.
Pussy.
No, I will. But look, I'm about the to kid's say very annoying.
I'm about to. He's very annoying. But I'm about to say something even worse. I want to put it delicately. There's something about his mouth. He's got a little mouth that's like it doesn't line up correctly. It's like a weird little cartoon mouth.
Right.
There's something about his jaw, and that. He's just, how old is he again? Let me be very careful here. What, he's
17?
He's a grown-up, right? Yes, he is.
Oh, nearly 18 years of age.
Nearly. What I'm saying is that I applaud what they're doing. And that there's something about, that I find that I think he's, there's something attractive about him. I don't know what it is. Okay. I'm just saying, I don't mean sexually, I just mean as a person.
I feel like, I get where the kid's coming from. You know, I think if you, without this vacuum of,
Do you think, here's the question.
Yeah.
He turns 18. Does America lose interest in him and if he starts fucking me?
If he
brings me out to the fucking thing and we start fucking going at it, making out, beast style, like biting each other, is it still...
Just grabbing your cock.
Just grabbing each other. Is it still going to be as effective... That's the question.
Well, two different questions. You have two different questions. Will they be as interested? Yeah. Will it be effective?
He's standing on the podium, and he goes, they messed with the wrong school. Right, honey? And I turn around, and I'm just licking his neck. Like, I'm sucking his neck. And I have so much saliva. It's like, I look almost like there's something wrong with me. Like, I'm mid-seizure.
This sounds like something out of Revelations. Like, a pig eating itself.
And it may be. But does the media lose interest in him? Does America lose interest?
I think the media gains interest. I think the effectiveness of his campaign goes down.
Right.
I think
if there is a video with me laying under a glass table, furiously masturbating as he shits, does America, is it more or less likely that we get an assault weapons ban? That's the question. I'm asking political questions.
I don't understand why the table needs to be. Like, if you're either into it or you're not.
Listen, if it's hard shit on me.
Right.
That's the thing. But if it's not hard, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I've never been shit on. I'm just saying.
But why don't they have, like, they have those things when you're like you're in a suntan booth and you're the
I
eyes.
Agree with you.
Put
I,
that in.
I agree that the table, I agree, is in many cases, it's like you're there anyway.
Right.
Absolutely. You showed up. You know what I mean?
What, you
came to the party. Did you not come to have fun?
It's like leaving your socks on during an orgy.
Absolutely. So,
but no,
that is my question. I don't know much about the statistics of gun violence, but I
think you would rub the wrong.
If there's a video of him sucking my tits, dressed as a baby,
here's the thing:
does it become less? Is it more or less likely?
You're a strange animal because a lot of these people out there, you know, aren't comfortable.
I just got an email. I've been dropped by agent, manager, lawyer. I don't have.
Aren't comfortable with homosexual sex. Especially, you know, that kind of age gap. That being said, they can relate to you. So you might bring people to the table.
I'm just curious because I want to have a high-profile relationship one day.
Yeah.
And I think this is
a child is the perfect place to start.
He's not a child. Listen, can we stop with a child? There's been famous. Jerry Seinfeld dated at 17. This is a man.
Yeah, and like,
he's a fucking man.
All right, people, you know, had a little whisper campaign about
it. He's a man.
It.
He wakes up with a hard dick. And he goes out and he fucking...
He's got the shoulder bones of a fucking bird.
He's very bony, like a
17-year-old.
I was going to say like a hen, Cornish hen, like a small game bird fowl. Right.
The kind of thing you break in half, the
thing
bone?
You do with a cherry compote, a little, like a, you know, just an, it's like a fruit glaze.
That again, put in his ass?
Does that help the movement? That's my question, because if it does, yes.
I think the movement's got the people who would be okay with that. The movement's got all they need of those people.
Okay,
you're not helping the cause at that point. You're closing doors.
I'm just saying, men do this all the time. They say, you know, so I don't think it's I think that
you're what, you know, scares them about homosexuality.
I don't. Well, what?
Just you showing up with their 17-year-old son who's coming home with you.
I believe
out.
In him.
Right.
Mr. Hogg, Mrs. Hogg, be the Hogs. I'll meet you.
All right, you knocking the door or whatever? Hello? Oh, hello. Can I help
Hi.
You?
Hey, how are you? Is David home?
David, are you from the media?
Yes, I've been on Netflix. Okay. I'm Tim Dillon. I'm a comedian.
Okay. Is he expecting you?
I'm here to see him and to help him. Do you have any of his laundry that needs to be laundered? Anything that I could do?
Honey, this man.
Hi, David. There he is. Hi, David.
Sit. This man
He's
wants.
Like, stay the fuck away from my fucking house. I told you that, you fat fuck.
This man wants your panties. He said. He asked if he could sip your panties.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now. I love your son. I love your son, and I want to see his hog. Come on. They would laugh at that. They would laugh at that.
Oh, because he's famous hog.
If they are good people and showed up to their house.
Well, don't be rude, David. Show them your cock.
Take it out.
It's not bad for his age, right? It's like he's telling
them. He's so thin that even a micro would look beautiful. It would just fall out like a champion. He's so thin that any fleshy mass would be fine.
We were making a video, and they were showing archival of all these different, you know, Alex Jones types and right-wing guys.
This is off a Vice video where Vice Selects just did a video about all these right-wing guys.
I worked on that.
Okay, yeah. Great. By the way, great.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't care. I didn't have a creative input.
So I watched it, because this is where I was watching Hogg and his family, and they're sitting there. And it is shitty what they do to the families of these people.
Right.
I'm not into that. I still think Laura Ingraham should have free speech. But... And she does, but you know what I mean? I don't think anyone that makes a living speaking should cheer people losing their livelihood for saying something controversial.
Sure.
I just feel uncomfortable with that.
My point was...
Especially since I just spent 5 minutes talking about fucking David Hunt. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, my point,
My
point was, of all those things, this would disturb him the most, this conversation.
But the point is, who are those... We're getting them on the show. That husband and wife team... That show up to every shooting and tell the parents that their kids didn't die? They're coming on this show.
Granny
and whoever? Conspiracy Granny?
Prove it, you dumb fuck!
They're getting on this show.
Yeah.
They He goes, we're known as something in Conspiracy Granny.
Yeah.
And some guy goes, my daughter died. She's buried in a cemetery over there. And the guy goes, you are a liar. And, you know, here's the thing.
You're a demon, Frank.
He calls him a demon.
Well, people are going to find you out. They're going to hang you by the neck.
Here's the thing. You go on a double date with that couple.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, that ain't not interesting. That is fun as hell. They might not be good people.
The best part is like it's just this old, you know, it's two older people.
Yeah,
and they're both madmen. He's calling a guy a demon and all that.
Yeah,
but every time she opens her mouth, he's like, "Keep it cool, keep it together,
keep it together. Get into the juice slow. Don't blow the lid off everything immediately. We gotta build credibility first. Start small. We don't want to get to the gray aliens yet." Start small. Start with the 9/11, the projector that showed the planes going into 9/11. Start with the hologram planes. Then we work into. So who are these people? Shannon, can you pull them up? It's Conspiracy Granny.
Yeah, is it Sidethorn, the other person?
Yes. Sidethorn. A thorn in your side. A thorn in the side of the mainstream. We got to get on the show. Let me tell you right now. They're coming on this goddamn show.
Prove it, you dumb fuck.
Is that what she says? I feel like she's like a video game, and you press her, and that's what she says. Prove it, you dumb fuck.
Oh, she's amazing.
What if they're right? Like, I don't think they are, but you know what I mean? Like, what if they are right? What if all these things are fake? They're not fake.
They keep bringing up the birth certificates, the death certificates, and the guy's like, no, I have it. It's right here. The death certificate's right here.
Prove it, you dumb fuck.
It's right here. I made you a copy.
By the way, do you know, not only do you have to be a conspiracy theorist, but do you realize how motivated you have to be to just go around the country?
Dude, that wasn't just some
crazy.
That's that guy's daughter was killed in the shooting. Like, that wasn't just
I know. He said it. He said it to them. You know, he goes, you know what that means saying that to me, my daughter lying in the grave or whatever.
She goes, yeah, your daughter wasn't even real, Frank. You're a demon.
What leads you to that? That's the question. It's like, what gets you to that place?
Drunkenness, meth, whatever, like that mixture, like to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But then being like, you know, of course, being kind of dumb, being like a kind of like isolated.
Yeah.
And then this kind of echo chamber of like just other scumbags.
Yeah.
In your life, I mean, just
you're leaving out one thing.
Oh.
Being righteous as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Prove it, you do.
No, but it is weird.
It is crazy. I look at it and I'm like, how to.
Outlook. We listen to Alex Jones. We see, I mean, it's not like we can't have a hard time seeing through it. But I mean, he is a compelling guy. And
very
like,
compelling.
If you're dumb, I guess it really just like, I mean, he says some things. We go, well, we have to admit, like, sometimes he's right. But less so more recently. But
yeah.
Like, years, like, you know, 5-10 years ago, it used to be more.
Oh, yeah. Now he's almost operating at 100% wrong.
Right.
Only because it's like. These guys, I got to get Sam Tripoli on the show. I got to have Sam Tripoli on the show because I really want to talk about a few things that I feel like Sam Tripoli knows more about than I do. And Sam's going to come on the show. I was on his show, and I'm a big fan. I like Sam a lot. I don't always agree with what he says, but I really like him a lot. And he's going to – I really want to do an episode on this, some of these conspiracy theories that are ludicrous. This QAnon where it's like, oh, there's a guy inside the administration that's just leaking info and pictures, and he's inside this deep state battle. It's like, guys, this is no good.
I mean, look, I'm kind of embarrassed that, like, I was using the term deep state last week. I just assumed people were getting wise to the idea that, like, yeah, you have business interests, you have the CIA.
They're immovable power factions.
I didn't realize the deep state became a gimmicky thing, like, a year or two ago.
It became a gimmicky thing because it was hijacked, and this is the thing, by fucking, you know, the fucking usual suspects.
Yeah.
Jones and gang, you know, his crew. Is now, which includes Roger Stone.
Right.
It includes people who lie for a living.
Wait, Roger Stone is
lies for a living.
That's the thing. It's like, any rational person believes Roger Stone believes any of this.
Right.
He's just a fucking brilliant scumbag.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
but then you have like, you know, Alex Jones. Yeah, I mean, they're both doing a job.
Prove it, you dumb fuck.
Amazing. I mean, you couldn't.
Conspiracy Granny. I like that she brands herself as Granny, so it's still like, well, she's still a Grammy.
Let me make you a cake. Use white flour. Bleach flour.
You want some muffins? You're going to need some energy pretending your kids were slaughtered. Prove it, you dumb fuck. All right, folks, TimDillonComedy.com for all your updates on what I'm doing. Please come see me all over the world. More in the country, more in the United States. But some really cool dates coming up. in Austin, Texas at Moon Tower Comedy Festival. I'll be with Chris Gethard in Philly before that. I'll be also at Clusterfest in San Francisco coming up. Really excited about that. I will be over this summer. I will be at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. I'll be at Zany's in Chicago. Really excited. Love that club, going back there. Be at the Comedy Connection in Providence, Rhode Island. I'll be at some other cool stuff too. I'll be in Ireland at a gig that'll be announced shortly, and some other cool stuff coming up. TimDillonComedy.com, Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Instagram and Twitter. Tim Dillon on Facebook. I will be making some announcements of some cool shit coming up. Ray Kump.
You can check out new episodes of That Happened on Vice Sports Facebook. We have Ted Williams' frozen head being shoved in the tuna fish can. We have Ty Cobb beating up a handicapped fan. Yeah, a lot of good episodes. New ones.
A lot of people say fun for the whole family, and they don't mean it. But we mean it. Right. This is good old sports trivia memorabilia.
Sit your kids down.
You
teach them about legends.
You got to do the Bobby Fisher episode.
I'm pushing for it.
You have to. Dude, that is the...
Believe me, look, I mean, if you don't think they're that funny, I mean, I'm doing what I can with, you know, the company.
No, they're fine. They're good. But I mean, that Bobby Fisher.
I would love to do the Bobby Fisher episode.
He was on, where was he? A radio station?
Filipino radio station. Did we play it at one point?
We played it. And it was a Filipino radio station. What's he saying?
Well, it's on 9/11.
He's on 9/11.
The morning of.
And he calls up.
So he asks him what he thinks. Like, this is a great fucking day, Pablo. The fucking United States gets their fucking teeth kicked in.
Searching for Bobby Fisher. Chess champion.
We found him.
We found Bobby.
But at Ray Kump on Twitter, at Ray Kump on Instagram.
Nobody does anything on iTunes for us. Can you review the show and give us a rating and then send it in and we'll give you a prize?
Yes, just prove it. Prove it, you dumb fuck.
Wouldn't it be funny if Conspiracy Granny reviews the show? She's like, these two fat queers.
Using my catchphrase.
They're working for the deep state, these queers. One of them fucking David Hogg.
I wouldn't put my dick anyone near him.
Prove it, you dumb fuck. I mean, what are their conversations together? You know?
Pass it. You're using till my passing. That's my pipe. They're just fucking there. I mean,
they're fun.
What? I don't. Look, that's one of those. You go around the country more than I do, but I can't imagine. I mean, the pastor seems like a reasonable guy. He's having a life there.
You know, I will say this. I travel a lot. It's better and worse than you'd imagine. That's how I describe it out there. It's better and worse than you'd imagine. You go to some places and talk to some people and go, there's some hope here.
Right.
And then you go to some place and you go, wow. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know.
That's, I won't be fair. Like, I'm sure, the way vice versa, they find people. It's like the person who lives like that. Their neighbor's probably like, well, you stop it. We're not a whole fucking Conspiracy Granny.
Right.
We're like, I work at a fucking insurance company.
No, I know. Yeah, they audition people for that fucking thing. All right, folks. See you later. Goodbye.